everybody. This is Dr. Veda Pragyananda, and I'm doing a podcast, and the topic is chakras and the subtle anatomy of yoga. Recently, I was revising one book which I wrote many years ago. It's called The Wisdom of Yoga, and I felt that it needed a new chapter about chakras and kundalini, and also recently I got a request for another podcast, and someone was asking about the propensities, the psychic urges that the humans have and how we can handle them. So this topic of chakras and the subtle anatomy of yoga addresses both of these issues, my need to put something down in writing, and also to answer the question of my listener. So we'll get into it. These days, of course, chakras are all the rage, especially in the New Age circles. Like you can go online, even before you go online, if you just go into your word processing software, you'll see chakras. You spell out chakra, and it's not an error or a word that's not known. It's part of the dictionary, so everybody knows about chakras. And if you go then look in the New Age circles, and you see that people are offering all kinds of things that tell you how to open your chakras, close your chakras, purify your chakras. So there's a lot of interest in the subject. But sometimes we should go deeper to find out what is the real thing about them. So basically, a chakra is not something which someone in the autopsy ward of a hospital would find, when they're looking at a body or a physician will find, because it's not a physical object. It's a psychic center, a spiritual center. And according to the yogis, they're formed in this way, that along the vertebral column, there is a subtle nerve, which is called Sushumna. And then on the left side, there's another nerve called the Ida, and on the right side, Pingala. And the Ida and the Pingala crisscross each other going up the spinal column. It looks like, if you've ever seen the snake, which is the physician's symbol, the two snakes going up around each other. So it's like that. These two nerves, Ida and Pingala, crisscross going up the spinal column, and in the places where they cross, that's the chakra. And the chakra is a special kind of a central point, a controlling point. It controls several elements of both the psychic and the physical, even the physical anatomy of the humans. So the chakras, each of the chakras, and I will explain where they're located, they control the basic elements of the body, which are defined by the yogis as the solid, liquid, luminous, aerial, which is like gas, and ethereal, which is the sound-carrying space-time. So the chakras control the elements, and the chakras control different glands, and these glands control human propensities. And the chakras also are associated with any of the physical organs that are around in their vicinity. So they're very important points. And also, these are points which are very helpful in the practice of meditation and pranayama and different advanced yogic practices. And I will discuss some of them. So let's go into the chakras and see where they're located. So as I said, that along the spinal column, there is one nerve, the Sushumna. And in the very lowest vertebrae of the spinal column, the yogis say there is the Muladhara chakra. Muladhara chakra means it's the fundamental base of the body. And I wanted to say also about the chakras is that the word chakra actually means circle. So they're circular in shape, but each of the chakras have different kind of differentiating features that you can separate them from the others. So in this first chakra, the Muladhara chakra, you find a circle, but inside the circle, you find a yellow square. Now, when I say when we find, actually, that's originally how these chakras were discovered. They were discovered by tantric yogis they went inside the body and they did experiments to see, well, if I concentrate here, what's there? So that's what they saw. So they concentrated in the lowest part of the spinal column. And what did they see? They see a circle, and then they saw a yellow square. And around the yellow square, they viewed four petals. That's why chakras are sometimes called padmas or lotuses, because they're like flowers. So they saw four petals around this base chakra, this Muladhara chakra. So what is this, all of this mean? And also, if you look through the books of yoga, you are going to find pictures of the chakras, and you find some more elements, which I will also, I'll describe some of them. So the Muladhara chakra, according to the yogis, is the controlling point of the solids of the body, the solid factor. So this is a very important thing. And the yogis also say, another important link of the chakras, that this first chakra controls the Kamamaya Kosha, which is basically what Western psychologists would call the conscious mind. Or the yogis would say it's the mind which we use to satisfy our physical desires. That's why it's called Kama. Kama means desire. So this is a controlling point of the solid factor of the body and of the first layer of the mind, you can say, the conscious mind, Kamamaya Kosha. So it's very important. And in addition, the four petals, each petal controls or is associated with a human instinct, a human urge, a human psychic propensity, which the yogis call vrittis. So what are these vrittis? So the first one in the bottom is called dharma, and that means psycho-spiritual urge, the desire for to take the mind to spirituality is dharma. Then the second one is called artha. Artha is the psychic urge. When we want to know something, want to find out the meaning of something. We see some word. What is that? What does that word mean? And then when you get it, oh yeah, I got it. It's artha. Then the third one is kama. Kama is desire. We have all kinds of desires, whether it be, to see something that we like, or to taste something, or smell something that's good, or to get something. So these are our physical desires, kama. And then the last vritti, or propensity, which is governed by this chakra, is the called moksha. And that's pure spiritual desire. Just not even the mind is there. Just we have desire, the moksha. We want liberation. So this is the first chakra. So it's located. And where is it located? Yeah, in the base of the spine. Below it, just below it, and I'm going to talk about that after, is the what they call the kundalini, which is the spiritual energy. But we won't go into the kundalini yet. First, we're going to go just through the chakras. So now we want to go move up. So that's the first chakra, Muladhara. So then we go to the second chakra. That's called Swadhisthana chakra. And the meaning of it is the seat of my own energy. So where is this located? It's located on the spine, but in the plane, same level plane with like where the genital organ has its root. So where the male organ or the female organ is, and then you make a plane to the spinal column, then you'll find the second chakra, which is like a circle. But within that circle, there is not a square this time, but a crescent, like a moon, a crescent moon. And that crescent moon is colored white. So in the first chakra, we had a square yellow. And in the second chakra, we get a crescent moon of milky white, yogis say. And this chakra controls the next layer of the mind, which is called Manomaya Kosha, which is called the subconscious mind, which is the seat of our memories, seat of our dreams, and of it's the place where we have the mind can do computational and complex activities. So this is called the subconscious mind or Manomaya Kosha. So this chakra controls that, and this chakra controls all the liquids in the body, the liquid elements. So our body is 75% liquid anyway. So it's a very important chakra. And it has six propensities. And they are, one is called avagya, which means indifference, murcha, which means psychic stupor, prashraya, which is indulgence, sarvanash, the thought of sure annihilation, and krurata, cruelty. So we all have these things in us. That's important. It's not that just a bad guy has cruelty. Everybody has that vritti. It's just a question of learning how to, and we'll talk about that, how to control them. And even all of these elements, they can be made to become positive factors, like indifference. I'll give one example. And this is an example which my guru gave in one of his discourses. Like you can have indifference to something good, that's not good. But let's say there's something bad, and then you have indifference to the bad things, you don't want to be attracted to the bad, then indifference can be good in that case. So according to how we work and with our psychic and with our mind and our body and our spirit, we can convert these vrittis into something positive, or we can restrain them so that the bad things like cruelty doesn't get expressed in our life. So that's what the yoga is all about. Yoga is all about doing that, and I'll talk about how we can do that. And also, these chakras are they're associated with physical glands in the region and physical organs. Like the first chakra, the Muladhara chakra would be associated more with excretion function. And the second chakra is connected with the ovaries and testes, those glands, plus all the organs of that region, also reproductive and organs. So the second chakra is in charge of that. So now we're going to move up. We move up the spinal column, and we get to a place which is on the same plane as the navel, our navel of the stomach, and there we find the third chakra, which is called Manipura chakra. And the Manipura chakra, the literal name means the treasure house of the devotee. Mani means a jewel. So inside the circular area then is a triangle. And this triangle has a blood red color. So remember in the first chakra we found a yellow square, and in the second chakra a white crescent. And here the tantric yogis, they concentrated, and what did they see? They see a triangle, blood red color. And this chakra controls the luminous factor, the fire factor of the body. So, And you might understand, you might think, well, where is the luminous factor? You can understand where there's a solid and a liquid. But, you know, in each of our cells, there's the burning of the fuel is going on. And there's light also. Light, the body has some kind of light. You know, some places are dark, some places are light. So there's light. There's a light factor in the body. There's a burning factor in the body. So this is called the luminous factor. And this chakra controls a more subtle portion of the mind, which is called the Atimanasa Kosha, which is the first layer of what the yogis call the causal mind, or what a psychologist could call, if he knew about it, he would call it the superconscious mind. Sometimes some psychologists wanted to call this higher mind the unconscious mind, but unconscious, you get the idea that someone knocked you, a boxer hit you and knocked you unconscious and there's nothing. But this mind has more heightened qualities. So the yogis would prefer to call it, if they're going to make it in English, they would call it the superconscious mind. And this third chakra controls the first layer, the first part of that, and which is the layer of mind, which has to do with intuition, many other things. And when, I think I've spoken about that in one of other podcasts, so you can look that up. In any case, now this chakra, the Manipura chakra, is very important because it controls 10 propensities. 10 propensities, and these propensities are actually, you know, each propensity is really linked to a subgland, and so that through yogic practices we can work on the glands and work on these propensities, learn how to control them, and in some cases even to get the best outcome from these propensities. So what are these propensities in the third chakra? First one is called Lajja in Sanskrit. It means shyness or shame. So we all have that, we cover ourselves, we don't walk out without clothing. We have that tendency there. Then next one is Pishunata, sadistic tendency. So according to the yogis, it's there within everybody in that third chakra. Whether it's expressed or not, it's there. Next one, Irsha, envy or jealousy. Susupti, static state, sleepiness. Vishada, melancholy. Kashaya, peevishness. Trishna, yearning for acquisition. Then Moha, infatuation, attraction. Then next one, Grina, hatred or revulsion. And tenth is Bhaya or fear. And the physical glands in this region, adrenal gland, also pancreas, which is an organ, but also it gives hormones, so I call it a gland, these are associated with this chakra. So in this chakra, we can see, you know, some very important propensities that are there, like especially fear. Everybody has fear, and everybody has shyness. That's why I was looking in one of the books of my teacher, Sri Sri Nandamurti, and he was noting, he said, you see, suppose somebody has a fear of public speaking, then that person should do Mayur Asana, which is the peacock pose. The peacock pose is where the yogi balances or the whole body is out extended, and it's a balance on the elbows, and so he's extended outward with 2 feet down, looks like a bird, a straight bird. That's why I call it the peacock. But puts tremendous pressure on the stomach area, which is the region of that chakra. And what that does, and this is the whole science of yoga postures, is this, is that the yoga postures put pressure on glands. And then when the pressure is released, blood flows on the glands, the gland gets a massage. And the postures, according to the sequence which they are practiced, can help to, if there's an overstimulation of glands, it can help to suppress that overstimulation or to put it into balance. If there's an understimulation, it can help to put it into balance. So these yoga asanas are related to the glands, and the chakras are the controlling points of the glands, and the glands are related to the vrittis. So by balancing the vrittis getting the best out of them, then the human expression becomes nice. For instance, Trishna means yearning for acquisition. So you can have Trishna for physical things. So someone wants to get $1 million, $2 million, is mad after money. But Trishna, if somebody is regulating that chakra and then is making it positive, then it could be a yearning for the supreme knowledge, for supreme good. So Trishna can be good. So these tendencies can be, if they're holding us back, they can be overcome. If they're bad, they can be made better. And if they're really bad, you know, like sadistic tendency, well, at least they won't express. So that's what yoga does. This is very important. So this is the Manipura chakra. It's the third chakra. And next, I'm coming to the chakra, which is like the popular chakra. It's like all the rage. It's called Anahata chakra. It's the fourth chakra, and it's located on the spine, and it's on a plane with the center of the chest. So it's also sometimes called the heart chakra. In Sanskrit, Anahata means the unstruck holy sound. It means the potential for that Om sound to come. It's the potential is there. It's just not yet hit. So this is the heart chakra. And so like I said, it's a circle. That's why they call it a chakra. And within the circular area is a hexagon shape. And the hexagon shape has a smoky gray-green color. You know, in some pictures of the chakra, you're going to see it looks like a Star of David in there. But actually, the real point, if you look in the Star of David, you're going to find a hexagon. That's really the central figure there. That's the important figure. And the figure here is called, in Sanskrit, it's Chayamala. It means green, but it's really like a gray-green, smoky green color, like a cabbage color. And this chakra controls the aerial factor. Aerial means the gas. In the stars, you know, you have, you know, the gases are there, and then they come together, you know, they make fusion and all of this. So we also have in our body wind. The yogis call it vayu. Wind is this wind. When you pass wind out, you'll know that there's wind in the body. So this is called fourth chakra controls that element. It's called one of the rudimental factors. So that's the importance here, and it controls another layer of mind, which is the second layer of the subconscious mind, which is called Vijnanamaya Kosha, which is a layer of mind which is associated with deep, deep wisdom. So it's very important. And as yogis climb up the chakras and they develop them, then these layers of mind also get developed. That's the psychic and spiritual side of the chakras. But in this chakra, there are 12 propensities, and because like one of the propensities is called mamato, or mindness, or love. So, you know, people think of the heart center. This is the place of love, and it's true. You know, we hold our heart when we think of something dear to us. You know, like that. But there are other propensities there. Some are not as noble as love, and also mindness, love, can also be very negative too. If it means mindlessness, means my attachment to something. Someone, little kids, says, "This is my ball, and you can't play with it. It's mine. It's mine." That's mamata, vritti. So, what are the propensities in this heart chakra, in this anahata chakra? So, you're going to find asha, which means hope; chinta, worry; chesta, effort; mamata, which I mentioned, means mindness or love; dambha, vanity; viveka, conscience, discrimination of good and evil; viklata, mental numbness due to fear; ahankara, ego; lolata, avarice; kapatata, hypocrisy; vitarka, argumentative to the point of exaggeration; and 12, anuttapa, repentance. So the way I look at it, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's not, you know, just all love and, you know, nice things there. So there's also problems, you know, avarice is not good, hypocrisy is not good. So the yogi does the yoga postures centered around that chakra, exercising that chakra. And also this chakra controls the thymus gland. So different secretions of that gland can be regulated through the proper practice of the yoga asanas. Okay, so this is the fourth chakra. Now we go to the fifth chakra. It's called Vishuddha chakra. And this chakra is located in the throat, and its name means spotless purity. And inside the circular area, you don't find a particular form like in the other chakras. But what you'll find was many points, and they have many colors. So this chakra is like beyond form. And this chakra controls the ethereal factor. So this is the medium through which sound travels. And it controls the last layer of the superconscious mind, which is Hiranmaya Kosha. And that layer of the mind is the one where when yogis reach there, they feel that they're almost connected to the divine. There's not much left. And this chakra is associated with the thyroid and the parathyroid gland. And I'll talk something about that when we talk a little bit about yoga asanas related to this gland. So this chakra has 16 petals. Imagine there are 16 petals, you know, 8 on one side, 8 on the other side. And so what are they? The first ones are kind of unusual. They're vrittis, which are just, they express the sound of certain animals. One is Sadaja, means sound of a peacock. Rishabha, the sound of a bull. Gandhara, sound of a goat. And the fourth one is Madhyama, the sound of a deer. Fifth, Panchama, sound of a cuckoo. Sixth, Dvaivata, sound of a donkey. Seven, Nishada, the sound of the elephant. Then the eighth is Om, the acoustic root of creation, preservation, and destruction. It's the primordial sound. So this is where the Om sound is there. And then the next one is Hum, which is the sound of arousing the Kundalini. Like you may have heard of the Tibetan mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. That's what that means. It has to do with the arousing of the Kundalini. Then the next one is Phat. It means putting theory into practice. Then it's Valsat, Valsat, expression of mundane knowledge. And Vasat, welfare in the subtle sphere. Swaha, performing noble actions. Nama, surrender to the supreme. Visha, repulsive expression. 16, Amrita, sweet expression. So this chakra, I mentioned about the thyroid gland. It's because it's in the throat. It's associated with the thyroid gland. So there are yoga postures such as the Sarvangasana, or shoulder stand, and the fish, which give a massage to this chakra. So it's a very important chakra. It's good. It's related to all the vocal cords. So like the singers and the audience, the speakers, you know, have to take care that this chakra and the organs around it are functioning nicely. And the yoga postures do that, help for that. So this is the fifth chakra. And then we're going to go to the sixth chakra, which is called Ajna chakra. Sometimes people say Ajna or Ajna. It's Ajna in the Sanskrit pronunciation. This chakra is located at the point between the eyebrows, and its name means authority, command, and unlimited power. This chakra is popularly known as the third eye. It's in the middle, you know, where the two eyes are. And it's an important chakra. See, authority, unlimited power, one of the reasons might be because it's associated with the pituitary gland. And the pituitary gland is a master gland which controls all subglands below it. So if you can control this pituitary point, and you can control the whole body. So that's why the yogis, and it's not associated with any of the factors. It controls the whole body and will control all the factors. So that's why, and there's no form or fundamental factor associated. And it has two petals. Now the two petals, I like to call these one of the bookends of the yogic chakra system. So in the first chakra, we had dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And these are not like, in a way, they're not specific traits. They're like general factors. They're general factors. They're of the general urges, like I'm looking for psycho-spirituality. I'm looking for psychic satisfaction. I'm looking for physical satisfaction. And I want spiritual satisfaction. But these are like general. It's not so specific. And here, in this sixth chakra, we find two propensities, which are also kind of general. And the first one is apara, which stands for mundane knowledge. And second is para, which is spiritual knowledge. And in life, we deal in this world. So all our knowledge of like when we talk about science and biology, anthropology, whatever, chemistry, physics, that's called paravidya. But we also are spiritual beings, and we want to know, who am I? Where have I come from? You know, what is there a supreme entity? What is that supreme entity? What is the nature of the supreme being or God or whatever, however people will address that presence? So that kind of knowledge is paravidya. So the yogi wants to get eventually to deal with the physical world, but then also to get that spiritual knowledge. So this is a very important point. This chakra is also the seat of the mind, and that's why it's a very important point in meditation. But all of the points, which I'll talk about a little bit, they have their importance for some parts of meditation. And then the last of the seven principal chakras. I say principal because there's actually something more, which I'll talk a little bit about them more. This last of the seventh chakras, which you're going to see in the books, is Sahasrara, and this is means a thousand petals. That's what the meaning of the name is, a thousand. And it's pictured as a thousand petals. Like imagine a layer of petals. Of 20 petals, 50 petals, 50 petals in the bottom. Let's imagine 50, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, like that. Imagine 50 petals around, and then 20 layers up. You can try to visualize that sometime. Now, where is this chakra located? It's located at the crown of the head, and the yoga, it's even said in a yogic shloka that it's 10 fingers above the agya. So you can do it by, if you put your one hand over your eye, where the tip of the end of the nose is, you know, between the two eyes, you put your hand there, and you have five fingers, then you put five more fingers next to that, then you're going to reach the spot where the last finger is, at least four fingers anyway, or five, because you can't, okay, the last finger, you can do your thumb there, where the last finger is, it's like the center of the head. So that's where the chakra is located. And this chakra, why does it have a thousand petals? Now you might want to ask that question. So if you count in the first six chakras, and you count all the things, you know, 4, 6, 10, 12, 16, you know, and 2, you're going to get to 50. So those are 50 expressions, 50 fundamental expressions. And the yogis say that these expressions can be worked on, they can manifest internally and externally, and they can function in what the yogis have defined as 10 different directions. So 50 times 2, which is internal and external, is 100, times 2 is 100, and then in focusing in all the different possible directions, 10 directions at least defined by the yogis, you get 1,000. So this chakra is symbolic of the 1,000 possible expressions, and it's the pineal gland is associated with this chakra. And science sometimes had a mystery, you know, to know what is the pineal gland for. Descartes actually said he thought it was the seat of the soul. This is a long time ago. And the yogis also said it is very important. It is the important point. It's really the supreme controlling point, even above the Ajna chakra. And it's the seat of spiritual realization. And I'll explain more about that. Now there's something more about the chakras. The chakras are intimately associated with fundamental sounds. They control the mental propensities, layers of the mind, you know, and sounds. And each chakra has a root sound, which is like called the acoustic root of the chakra, the root sound of the chakra, the basic sound of the chakra, which these are called the seed mantra or bija mantra of that chakra. So these bija mantras are used when in yogic exercises where we're trying to control those chakras. Now, something about acoustic roots, this is an expression which I really have not seen outside of the literature given by my guru, Anandamurti. So he says, every vibration in this universe has color and sound. Every vibration also has a particular idea. And hence, each idea has a vibrational sound and a vibrational color. For example, if you are laughing, you will make the sound ha ha ha. So the sound ha 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 is the root sound for the action of laughing. So that's why the root sounds for each of the five elements, solid, liquid, luminous, aerial, and ethereal, have particular sounds. So what are they? So the solid factor, it's in the Muladhara chakra, has the sound lung. And the liquid factor, which is controlled by the Svanisthana chakra, has the sound vang. And the luminous factor in the third chakra has the sound rung. And the aerial factor has the sound jung. And the ethereal factor has the sound hung. So these root sounds, you can often, if you look at the classical chakra diagrams and yoga books, you're going to see one. Usually it's written in the Indian or Devanagari script. You're going to see some script there. What is that script saying? The script is basically saying the name. It's basically making the sound, you know, the lung or hung or rung or hung sound. Now, about sounds also, I mentioned that there were petals around the chakras, 4, 6, 10, 12, 16, and 2. So each of these petals is associated with a sound. And these 50 sounds comprise the 50 vowels and consonants of the Sanskrit language. So now you get an idea about the chakra system, but there's more to it. This is really what brings the whole thing to life, is that at the base of the Muladhara chakra, in the first vertebrae, just below it, there is an entity which is called Kundalini. And this is also becoming common in yoga practice. This is a tantric discovery, but now it's part of all of yoga. Kundalini, it's also called the Kula Kundalini, it's the sleeping energy of an individual. The yogis say that it looks like a coiled snake, has 3.5 coils, and then it has a tail in its mouth, and it lies dormant below the Sushumna Nadi. It's dormant there. And then, through proper yogic practice, through the repetition of the mantra, of effective mantra, and through the help of a proper guru, then the kundalini will rise. If we cannot, you cannot bounce on it and make it rise or hit it. It's not, because it's a spiritual entity, so it needs a spiritual source to make it rise. And when the kundalini rises, as it rises up through different chakras, then the yogi has an experience of different levels of proximity with the supreme entity. And when the kundalini rises up to the sixth chakra, the yogi gets a, what we call the savikalpa samadhi, the feeling that he is one, she is one with the supreme cosmic mind or cosmic consciousness. And when that when it reaches the sahasrara chakra, then there is like the complete union of the individual consciousness with cosmic consciousness. So this is actually the goal of yoga, is really, one of the goals of yoga is to raise that kundalini up past the different chakras. And as that happens, then different things are going to happen, because if a yogi goes up past one chakra, it means he or she is attaining mastery over that chakra. It means sort of mastery over those propensities, mastery over those, that physical factor, which is controlled by the chakra. So of course the yogi is getting immense accomplishment. But the real accomplishment of a yogi is not any kind of psychic power or physical power, but the real accomplishment and the real goal of the whole yoga practice is to reach the supreme being. Now, when in a spiritual journey, you may be saying, yeah, I practiced many years, I never experienced any of these kind of things. You may or you may not experience these things, but if you're on a proper path, you're going to reach the destination. It's like, suppose you take a train ride. If you get on the right train, you're going to reach the destination, even though you may have your windows closed, so you may not see all the stuff on going up there. But someone who has the windows open for some reason or another may see more things than you're going to see. But the important thing is not to look out the window. The important thing is to reach the destination. And for the yogis, to reach the destination is to merge with the cosmic consciousness. But along the way, you know, we have to take care of our physical body, our mental body. And if we know about the psychic anatomy, it can help a great deal. So like if you know about, now you learn about where the vrittis are and everything. So if you do the proper postures, yoga postures, you can quiet those vrittis. You can overcome different physical challenges. And if you know the locations of the chakras, they can help you very much in meditation, because as you can see the chakras or feel the chakras, you can withdraw from those parts of the body, and then you can reach your point of concentration more easily. And for those of you who already know the Nandamarga system, you might understand what I'm talking about. But if you don't know, you should learn that system of meditation, and you will learn how to use the chakras to help you to withdraw from the body, so the body doesn't disturb you when you're doing meditation. And you should learn where is the proper point for your meditation. And later, you should learn proper pranayama, and pranayama has to be conducted in proper points, and those points are associated with the chakras too. So it's a complex science, but very fascinating. And I hope that this little introduction will whet your appetite for more. And in my forthcoming new edition of the Wisdom of Yoga, then this discourse will be printed or published, so you can read about it. But we have another good book, really, is Yoga Psychology by Sri Sri Anandamurti, especially if you want to learn about the propensities and things like that. So anyway, I'm going to close up, and I hope that what I've said it will be helpful.